Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So yet again, events for this week are as on the notice sheet. But this is the last day for nominations for deacons and church secretary as they close at 6 p.m. this evening. There are vacancies for position of deacon. Chris Skinner and James Putt have come to the end of their term of office and are willing to stand as deacon if nominated. Annalisa Coe comes to the end of her term of office as church secretary and is willing to stand again in the role if nominated. The only other notice this week is that Chris and Andrew are starting a home group at their house on Monday, May the 9th, at 7:30. So if anybody would wish to join them at their home group, then please see Chris and Andrew and they'll give you all the details. It will appear on the notices next week. Thank you. I'll hand you over to David.
Thank you,
David.
Good morning. How nice to see you all, from the youngest to some of the oldest. It's very nice to see you. And I've been looking forward to this service all week, and I pray that it'll be a great time for all of us here and those at home. And I wish you well if you're watching on Zoom, and I hope you manage to hear every word and understand even my dulcet tones. It's good to be here in the presence of Almighty God to worship Him. On the Sunday after Easter, make no mistake, this is the good news which we proclaim to you, that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. So let us walk in the light of his love and live in the light of his teaching and healing mercies. Let us come together now and worship the one who overcame death with joy and thanksgiving. Let us celebrate the triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ and crown him Lord and King of our lives. We do that now as we sing our first hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let us pray. Almighty God, King of all the earth, Creator of the universe, Holy Triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. You are a great and wonderful God. Yet you are merciful and full of loving kindness and great compassion. We bless you and we rejoice this morning, for your grace, O Lord, has overflowed for us. You have washed us and cleansed us from our sin and made us your people. We bow before you now in gratitude, and in doing so we offer you all that we are and all that we have. You are our God. We come before you now with thanksgiving and offer you the sacrifice of praise as we crown you Lord of our lives again. We do so in and through the name and the presence of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing again now. The music group are going to lead us. No apologies, we've been singing this hymn a lot lately, so therefore you should know it quite well. It's a great hymn. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Thank you. Excuse me. The reading I've chosen for today comes from John's Gospel, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, she's talking about last week, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, today, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God, for this his word. Amen. We sing again a lovely little hymn which will hopefully take us right into the deep, deep love of Jesus. It says, "Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul." We shall stand to sing.
Show your power.
Easter. It's brilliant, isn't it, Easter? And just like Christmas, we celebrate again by giving and receiving gifts. The next lot of gifts I've got to look forward to, as I was saying to Enid earlier, is my birthday. It's next month. And all I want this year is a new watering can. Just write that down. I like receiving gifts. Let's be honest, we all do. But I didn't get any Easter eggs this year, except for the one that Matt and Maxine gave me as I came into church. But there are all sorts of other things that you can give at Easter. For instance, knowing that the minister was very fond of cherry brandy, one of the deacons offered to give him a bottle on one consideration, that the minister acknowledged the gift in the weekly news sheet. Gladly, said the minister. He'd do anything for cherry brandy. Anyway, when the news sheet came out the following weekend, the deacon couldn't wait to see what it said. And there it was, in bold print. Thank you. The minister extends his grateful thanks to Deacon Brown for the gift of fruit and the spirit in which it was given. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I wish I'd have thought of it, but it wasn't me. Anyway, I don't like cherry brandy, just in case you get any clever ideas. Easter time. For many, it's the best time in the whole Christian year. This weekend, it's Easter again, if you're an Orthodox Christian, an Eastern Orthodox, because they always celebrate Easter a little later than we do. It's a familiar path, though, isn't it? A path that we tread every year. And we wouldn't want it any different, would we? First, there's Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, across the Kidron Valley, then Thursday evening in the upper room, on into Friday through Gethsemane, onto the palace of the high priest, Golgotha, the crucifixion, and then the empty tomb. And now this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter. Traditionally, this Sunday is known as Low Sunday, and I can understand that, because the excitement of Easter is over. It's, for many of us, it's back to the daily grind again. Only now, there's no Jesus to travel with you. No wonder it's called Low Sunday. Let's get things into perspective. I want you to imagine, just for a moment or two, that you're not here. You may say, well, to be honest, David, that's usually what I do when during the sermon when you're preaching. Seriously, let's not count the organ pipes this morning. There are 23 of them anyway. And I don't want you to imagine that you're outside in the town or even sitting in your easy chair at home. Sorry, folks, on Zoom. Instead, I want you to imagine that you're in the room that we've just read about in John's Gospel, and that you and I number amongst those first disciples. First of all, forget that you're in a well-lit room like this. The room that the disciples were in was dark. The sun was shining outside, as it is today. It was probably a beautiful spring day, as it is today. But the doors and shutters are shut tight. Today is the first day of the week, and it all comes flooding back. We were there. Jesus was crucified. We were all watching as they hammered the nails into his hands and feet. And after what they did to the teacher, to Jesus, Lord only knows what they'll do to us, his disciples. Good God, perish the thought. They might even arrest us and scourge us like they did him. They might even crucify us like they did him. I mean, we'd seen Jesus die, and the trouble he started was still going on. Some people just want to stir up trouble, you know. First, they'd killed Jesus. Now it appears that someone had even stolen his body. On top of all this fear, we're still trying to deal with the grief. Poor old Mary, who discovered that Jesus' body had been stolen, has been doing nothing but babbling on about seeing him alive and thinking he was the gardener. And Peter and John haven't said a thing since they got back from the tomb either. So, there they are, hiding in the upper room, hiding for fear of what the Romans and the Jews would do to them. Then all of a sudden, they weren't alone. Jesus appeared in the midst of them. They probably thought they were seeing things. But everybody was staring at him. So they must see him too. Then they begin to wonder if this was Jesus, his ghost, come back to haunt them, maybe. If they'd been afraid before, they were probably even more afraid now. Jesus knew of their fear. And so the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. It wasn't his ghost. He was alive, and he just blessed them. Then Jesus told them to go out into the world, just as the Father had sent him, so he was sending them. Now, come on, folks. Who could blame Thomas for not believing? I mean, he hadn't been there to see Jesus. I know if I was Thomas, I'd have had a hard time believing. The other disciples had not believed he was alive when Mary told them that she'd seen him. Why should he believe just because there were a few more people saying the same thing? Well, things have not changed that much, have they, since then? Because in some places in the world, Christians still hide from the authorities. Thankfully, not here in England, though. Well, not yet, anyway. Here, Christians can gather freely without being killed or arrested. Maybe so. But we still live in a hostile world. A world that ridicules our values. A world that attacks us for our belief in chastity and marital fidelity. A world that degrades us because we try to help those who it says are not worth helping. A world that crucifies us because we tell the world that its lifestyles are sinful and that only Christ's blood can atone for them. A world that ignores us when we say that life comes out of death. So often, many times, it has to be said, Christians cower in their churches and they refuse to go out into the streets for fear that someone will recognize them and ridicule them for what they are. And when you live in a tight-knit community like this one, it's understandable. To a certain degree, we all do it. Like the disciples, we close the doors and the shutters tight so that no one will discover us. But Jesus knows our fear just as he knew the disciples' fear. And so, just as he was in the presence of them in that upper room, I believe he's with us here, this morning, in this room. And just as then, he says the same thing now. Peace be with you. Do not fear the world outside, for I am with you. But that's not all, because there comes a certain strength with Christ's presence. In the reading from John, there's a curious statement. I don't know whether you picked it up, but it says that Jesus breathed on the disciples. Now, I wondered what that meant. This is what I found out. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and the Hebrew word is ruach. They both mean the same thing, wind or breath. In the Old Testament, this word is used when God breathed the breath of life into the first human. Here, Jesus is breathing the breath of new life into his disciples. In the same way, Jesus is breathing on us too, the breath of new life, a life which enables us and empowers us. Jesus is with us, no doubt about that. We live in a hostile world, no doubt about that either. People outside want to crucify us just as they did him. Ain't no bones about it. But we're not alone. Jesus is present with all those who worship in his name. And here today, he's giving each one of us new life. Okay, I know the world outside will ridicule us if we try to live our Christianity outside of these walls. They will call us names. They do call us names. And they will shun us. But Christ sends us out into the world. He sends us to proclaim the good news of his resurrection. But don't worry, because we won't go alone. We'll go with the power of the one through whom all things were created. We'll go with the strength of the one who was raised from the dead and lives forever. Jesus, Jesus Christ. And this is the good news of Easter, the greatest gift anyone can give anyone at Easter time, the good news of the resurrection. So today, the Sunday after Easter. Low Sunday, not on your Nelly. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I just sing, Brian, if you would get on that instrument? A great hymn, an Easter hymn, a hymn that I think says again what I've been trying to say this morning. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death hast won.
Thank you.
seated. Well, now, with confidence, we come to our God with our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Today, O God, we are reminded by your holy word of what people of faith are like. We're reminded of their joy and trust in you. We're reminded of how they care for one another and reach out to help their brothers and sisters. We're reminded of how your presence in their lives conquers their doubts and fears. So, Lord, we ask that you'll work strongly in us and conform our lives to the example of Jesus and all those with a living faith. Help us to walk in your glorious light and rejoice in your saving truth. Lord, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we recall how the sadness of the disciples was turned to joy and of how their fear was turned to courage by your risen presence. Help us to show your present reality to all those around us who dwell in fear and sadness. Help us and the people of Christ everywhere to bring comfort to those who grieve, strength to those who are ill, and blessing to all those who are in need. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer too for those in special need of your presence this day. We ask that your Spirit may touch those we name before you in the silence of our hearts. That your Son might visit them even now and speak a word of healing. That your nameless servants in this world might bring unto them your comfort and your grace. We especially remember before you, Lord, the people of Ukraine. And we pray again for peace. Peace to return to that land of theirs. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you, O God, for your power and your presence in our lives. Make us known as a people who share that power and that presence, so that the glory we give, we'll give to you. That our joy might be complete. That those around us will know as we know the presence of Jesus Christ, he who taught us to pray as one, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our last hymn this morning, I heard many years ago now. It came to us from a Salvation Army musician who used to come to our church in Moulton from time to time. And it's a hymn that I know you know and love, as I know and love. I'll go in the strength of the Lord, in paths he has marked for my feet, to follow the light of his word, nor shrink from the dangers I meet. It's a hymn that of confidence that we'll sing together now. Thank you, Brian. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all forevermore. Amen.